So, today's date is the 12th of August 2011. This is the Pioneers of the Fringe project, postcode 2179. My name is Therese Sweeney. I'm interviewing Milan Serovich today at his home at 80 10th Avenue, Austral. Milan, what's your full name?
Milan Serovich.
And your date of birth and place of birth?
15/10/1942. I was in a hospital at Fairfield, a private hospital. Yeah.
And your parents' full names?
Mary Serovich and Peter Serovich.
And what was Mary's maiden name?
Tulich.
And their date of births and place of birth,
Okay.
roughly.
My father was born in 1908. I could be seventh, actually, 7th of March, I think. Not. And my mother, oh geez, she says the 14th of March, but it's, I can't, 19. Oh geez, Leonie, you know, I could get to ask her if you like.
We can put that on at the end.
Yeah.
Where were they born?
My mother was born in Yugoslavia, an island, Korčula, in a town called Blato on that island. And my father was born in Bijela, Boka Kotorska, in Montenegro.
What year did your father migrate out to Australia?
1924.
Do you know the events around that migration? Why he migrated?
Because he was just, he was the only son or only child in the family, because his father died early when he was only 2 years old. And he lived with his mother, and he had an uncle, two, no, three uncles out here at St. John's Park, and they got him to come out, to Australia when he was 16. He I don't know if my grandmother suggested it to him, or they said to come out, and he thought he was coming out to improve himself.
So you had family already living here
Who?
at St. John's Park.
The uncles to my mother, to my father. They.
And do you know, like, when they came out? Do you know this?
I know two of them came out in the 1870s or something like that. And they were the first Yugoslavs to be in the Fairfield district. They were at St. John's Park. They had vineyards there, yeah. And first job my father had when he come out here was loading one of them blunderbuss guns and shooting it in the air to scare the birds away from the vineyards, And he stayed there for a while.
Do you remember your uncle's full names?
No, I know, one was Simon Serovich. And the other was, no, I can't think of the other ones.
Do you remember any story?
Oh, one and the one other uncle was Juro Serovich. That's when my father stayed with him.
Do you know what type of wine they were growing?
No, I just know they were growing wine. It was on at Canley Vale, St John's Park, around, oh, I think it's Bulls Road or Burns Road, or there's a monument there now of them on Canleyvale Road. It's where there used to be a creek going through there. Now it's like a canal with a bridge there, and there's a bit, and it gives you their history of when they come out here. And
so your father's first job was at that vineyard?
Yeah.
Do you know where he went from there?
He went to Sydney, and he was working for a Russian Jew in a milk bar and store, general store, or little store next door to a picture show in William Street. I suppose it's across there or something. And he was working from morning till 11 o'clock at night. I think he said he was getting 3 quid a week and keep. And he used to deliver fruit and stuff around the cross and all that area on a horse and dray thing, you know.
Do you know what year that was, roughly? What era would be?
Probably in 1930s, I suppose. He came here 1924, so between then and...
You don't remember, he didn't ever mention the name of the man he was working for in William Street?
No, I can't remember the name, yeah.
And what the fruit, where would he pick the fruit up? Do you know where he delivered?
He was delivering out of the shop there, you know, and to around, all around Double Bay and that area.
Was he living in Sydney at the time or living out here?
No, he was living in Sydney. Well, they said, and keep, so he must have been living in the premises, you know. Then after that he went into working, making basket shoes for some company.
So what is that with the basket shoes? Where did they originate from?
I don't know. They were like, you know, woven all, just like a basket, really, you know. And then I think he went back out to St John's Park and he started driving cart and vegetables from working for Gojko Mitrovic. He used to work for him, driving truck cart and produce and that into the markets, you know. And then he bought his own truck and the army took one truck off him because of the war, they were going to use it in the war or something. So he ended up buying another one off this Italian chap. And that's where he met my mother. She was working in a market garden there for some people and he was carting the veggies from there. So that's where they met.
So you don't know what farm that was on and what location? Was that an
Where my mother was working.
Hmm.
Yeah, that was in, what would you call that there? It's John Street, be Cabramatta or...
Because a lot of Yugoslavs went to Cabramatta first, didn't they?
Yeah.
Grew tomatoes.
Yeah, that's where she was working, for this lady there. But not too much pay either, I don't think it was.
So let's just stop there for a minute and we'll just backtrack to your mother, just so they've met at Cabramatta.
Yeah.
When did she come migrate out to Australia?
I'd have to ask Leanne.
Okay, so did she come out with her family?
No, her family came, her father and mother came out earlier, and she came out with her sister. They're only about, I think they about 8 years old or something.
And how? And her sister's name?
Yerolima. Oh, Yerka. I don't know. K.A. or something like that. Or Yerolima. One of them had, I think they had chicken pox or something, and they had to go out to the North Head, or, you know, to the quarantine place there. They had to stay there for 3 weeks, the two of them, until they cleared up, and then they went. They come out to live with. I think. Oh, they lived in. That's right, my mother and them. They lived in down around. What's that part of? Round.
Canley Vale.
No, before they lived in Sydney.
Oh, right.
Yeah,
okay.
In
Surrey Hills. Or
yeah, something. Somewhere around there. Woolaloo. Yeah. And their father worked in a hotel, you know, washing dishes and all that sort of thing. And there was the oldest brother Johnny. Yeah. And then there was my mother, and then my auntie, her sister that came, and then Peter, the one you interviewed, and then Olga, she was born out here. The rest were born in Yugoslavia.
So your mother was born here?
No. Olga was born here. My mother was...
She's an older sister.
Yeah.
I actually have a photo of them carrying cabbages. Is that right? Have you ever seen that photo? I'll have to get you that photo. I've got a postcard with your mother on it from the Green Valley property.
Well, one another.
Okay, we'll just get. Yeah, sorry. What were you going to say?
How they met this other cousin of ours, or my father's cousin. They lived in St John's Park. That was one of the uncles that my father went to live with, and she thought that my mother was coming, always used to come out to visit her, and she thought that she was coming out to visit her, but she was coming out to see my father. She told us not long ago, and that's how they met.
Okay, so he met her. She was tomato farming. He was a carrier?
Yeah.
So, this is during the war?
Yeah. They,
so let's talk about, he would have had to have grown food during the war. Was he growing?
Right.
Was he growing?
Yeah.
So where did he have land?
Oh, he was with the Tooliches there at Green Valley. They grew cabbages for the army and for the American army.
Do you remember what sort of money they got paid for and the prices then at the market?
No.
So they didn't go to war?
No. I think that was one of the reasons that they didn't have to go, because they were growing for the army. Otherwise, they would have been called up, I think.
Do you have any memory of Green Valley, the property there?
Yeah.
Okay. So when were you born?
In 1942.
Okay. So what are some of your memories of the property at Green Valley? Let's talk about that a bit.
Well, it was on Green Valley Road, and it went from Green Valley Road to North Liverpool Road. They had 20 acres there. my father and the Tulliches together. And it was a pretty big property there, you know. And then they busted up, sort of. My father decided they'll go on their own, and my mother and them, they moved out to Austral. You know.
So just before you moved, did you have any playmates there? Did you have any of the local children you'd...
Where, Green Valley?
Yes.
No, I was only a couple of years old.
Oh, you're only a little child.
Yeah.
Do you remember any earlier memories there on the property?
They had a horse and they used to grow a fair bit of veggies there, all sorts of veggies, you know, for the market.
What sort of veggies do you
have? Oh, well, I can remember going there even, you know, when I was old, as a kid, like, and they used to grow tomatoes, beans, peas, cauliflowers, cabbages, spinach, everything, you know.
So they went to Austral here?
Mother and father. They went from Green Valley, they went to my mother's auntie's place, right up at Scalabrini. Her name was Saparovich. And we lived in that place for 2 years. And then my father bought this property here. And we built a shed down there, and we lived in the shed. And it was a pack. We used to pack the tomatoes and everything in the same place. Yeah.
So how big is this property?
12 acres.
So it's the same size as it was when you bought.
No, it was 9 acres originally, and then later on we bought 3 acres off a chap over the back, Mr. Murphy.
Did they build the shed? Did Dad build the shed?
Yeah, not himself, but we had it all built and that, yeah.
Can you describe the shed?
It was made out of fibro, you know, and fibro roof or asbestos or what, I don't know what it is. And it had one big room that was a kitchen and the packing shed in the one room, you know, had a wood fire. And then we had a bedroom, there was one big bedroom with my mother and father. Then there was a smaller room on the side, you know. That's right, we had a shed outside. It was a laundry and an old tin shed thing there. It was a laundry and bathroom and everything out there, you know.
What sort of toilet system?
Pan system.
How long was the pan system?
How long did we do that? Oh, till I suppose I would have been 15, 16, and we were still doing it because I was the one that used to have to empty it every weekend.
How would that work? Let's talk about how that was, because...
Well, you had the pan, and then we used to have to take it down the back and dig a big hole and bury it and then start again.
Did you use chemicals with it or anything?
I think we used to put a bit of phenol or something in there, you know. That's all.
Not
and then after that we got...
Not much of a job.
No. I used to have to put it in a wheelbarrow and wheel it down the back.
Yes.
Yeah.
Not an important job. A necessary job.
Yeah.
How many children were there again? How many brothers and sisters do you have?
I've got one brother and two sisters.
And what are their names?
The one next to me is Sandra. Then there's John, then there's Margaret. She's the youngest.
And they're all alive?
Yeah.
So were the four of you in this other little room or in the shed?
No. I think we were there for a couple of years or something, and then we built a house. And I think John and Ivan Sandra, I don't know, yeah, I was the only one in the in that lived in the shed.
How did the land look?
How do you mean?
Back then, how was this property?
Oh, it was full of trees and that, you know.
So it all had to be cleared?
Yeah, for tomatoes and things like that.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, yeah.
And horse and plough?
Yeah.
Okay, so can we talk about some of those intricacies just so that... So, how was the land cleared? Do you remember who helped and who did?
Oh, yeah. It used to be, you know, one of them things where... You help us and then we help you, you know. Local Yugoslavs or, you know, I think. They used to have a... I don't think we ever used... We ever had a bulldozer in to clear the trees. We used to have to... We had, like, a thing called a stump puller. And it was... Had a... You used to put a big hook on the one good tree and then dig all around the tree you're going to pull down. And it was on a winch thing, you know, and you'd put the cable around it and then start winching and put, you know, back with this and pull it over, pull the tree over. Yeah. Then, or sometimes you'd have stumps, you'd have to burn them out, you know. Then we'd have to plough it. And after a while we used to get contract like a... person used to go around doing that sort of work, you know, just ploughing and rotary hoeing and drilling for the beds and that. And, we used to hire him, you know.
So when the plough originally, what size was the plough? Was it a, you know,
how they... Oh, with the tractor, only just a single furrow, you know, plough. And then they'd rotary hoe it and then they'd measure it out. You know, with a stick, had a stick the right size and measure out the, you know, where you used to drill through.
So, do you remember the measurements?
I think it's somewhere between, I'd say about, the stick would have been about 5 foot 6 long or something like that, you know. And that, you had a... And then you'd have the stick at the end, and then you had a long string, and you used to put it, you know, up, and then you went along with line, and along to give you the line, you know, for the chap with the tractor, or if you were doing it with the horse to plow, you know, to make the furrow where you work in, you know.
So. What were you growing? What was the first thing you planted?
I'd say it'd be tomatoes, but we used to grow everything too, you know, tomatoes, spinach, cauliflower, cabbage, beans, peas. We used to take, we had a truck of our own too, and my father used to take a lot of the produce into the market himself, you know.
Did you go to the market with him?
Yeah.
What happened when you got to the market? Do you remember who your agent was at the market?
Well, a lot of times we used to sell it ourselves. We just used to go to the manager or was looking after the markets and ask him, and he'd give us a stand, you know. And then after that, when we stopped going, we used to get Warriewood Co-op used to sell all our stuff. That was... The manager of that was from over Warriewood, you know. They had a stand in the old growers market down in Piermont, or you know where Chinatown and all that, you know, the vegetable market down there. That was, I used to call it the growers market, but what's that area there, where the entertainment centre and all that is, you know.
Paddy's Market.
Yeah, it used to be, that used to be all markets there before.
Do you know who the manager was from Warriewood?
Yeah, Matt Pecker.
And was he a Croatian person?
Yeah, he was from Croatia. Well, at that time it was Yugoslavia.
Did you ever join the Leppington Farming Co-op?
I don't think we did. But we used to send, we used to grow tomatoes, and we used to, you know, they used to take tomatoes from us to send them Melbourne or, you know, Brisbane or whatever it was, you know.
You must have been a member of the co-op.
Yeah, probably my father might have been, I don't know. Yeah.
So, just getting back to, can we talk about how, if you used any fertilisers, like how would us, can we talk roughly about how the seasons would fall, like when you would grow, how many tomato plants were you growing at the biggest time?
Probably about 5,000, I think.
Okay, so you were talking about tomatoes, 5,000 plants on the land, and then you were talking about the cycles of food production.
Oh, yeah, they started, we used to plant them in, I'd say it must be around this time now, because they used to be, used to have these hoops you put over them, and then you had the bags, and they'd cover them up overnight and open them up in the morning, you know, for the sun and that. And then from there, you'd have to, when they got big enough, you'd take the bags away, or you'd stake them, you know, and tie them, and take the bags away and the hoops and that, and then you started, you'd have to make like in between the two rows like a pan thing, and that's where you used to put the manure and the fertiliser, and you used to fill them up with water, you know, and do that then we were spraying them.
What were you spraying them with?
Bluestone or copper sulfate or whatever. And the other I don't know if it was DDT or something like that, you know.
How would you spray them?
We had a barrel we used to put the, I don't know how much chemical space, then fill it up with water, and then we had a machine, you know, a pump, a petrol pump, and with a long hose. My father used to go up and down each row, spraying, you know, up and back. And we had to be on the drum, keep stirring the chemical up, you know.
So did he wear any masks or
anything? No, he used to...
singlet?
Yeah, blue singlet, and no mask or nothing, you know. And it didn't seem to affect him so much, because he was 93 when he died. He ended up with cancer in his throat or something, you know. But my Uncle Johnny, I think helped him with his, didn't help him.
You mean John Tooley?
Yeah. Yeah, because he used to do the same thing. And I think it must have got into him through his pores and that.
So, okay, so did you have water sources here? Did you have a dam?
No, just it was city water, yeah. And we grew vegetables for a while, you know. Oh, the cabbages and the cauliflowers and that, they didn't... Or the cabbages would get dusted or something, you know, they used to have a dust thing. But the cauliflowers, I can't remember them getting any, you know, chemicals or anything, just manure and fertiliser and that, you know.
So what about bumper crops? Do you remember a year when you made a lot of money with the tomatoes, or was there anything standing out?
No, I suppose I was too young, you know.
Yeah.
All I knew, that I used to have to help before I went to school, and when I came home from school on weekends, picking tomatoes and packing and closing the boxes and all that sort of stuff, you know.
So where did you go to school?
Primary school I went to Austral, and then high school I went to Liverpool Boys High School.
So who were some of your mates at primary school?
Oh, there was the Trouchers. They used to live up there in the corner of 9th Avenue and Edmondson Avenue. There was Marchefs. They were Bulgarians. They used to grow tomatoes and down in 14th Avenue. There was Woodses who used to live down the road here in this road. Roses, they lived down where the Catholic Church is now. There was all different ones used to.
Was it a big school or?
Austral.
When you were at there?
I think there was about 100 kids were there. But the headmaster used to teach, and he had 4th, 5th and 6th class in the one room. There were three teachers there altogether. One was kindergarten and first class, and I think the next one was 2nd, 3rd and 4th. And then there was, first and second, and third and fourth, and then fifth and...
It's okay.
Yeah.
So it was a lot for you to do. How did you cope? Because so many of you had to do so much. How would your day... What time did you start? On the farm before school?
Oh, probably... Well, when I went to high school, I had to leave home. I think we were leaving home here, catch the bus at 7 o'clock, or 8 o'clock now. So then we had a few cows. We'd have to help milk them for our own milk and that. So we were getting probably 5:30 or something like that, 6 o'clock.
So when did your father move... Can I just talk about boxing the produce you go to market?
Yeah.
So did you make the boxes or were they ordered or?
No, they were made. Sometimes we had to make them, but mostly they were, we used to buy them off a box factory, they used to make them up.
Do you know the box factory, what it was called or?
There was one I remember at Leppington, there was one, his name was Walters. But I can't think of his first name. He used to make boxes and we used to buy a lot of him, And some of the carriers from the Whiskers used to cart out produce to the market. And they used to, they'd bring your boxes and things like that. Yeah.
So you put the lids on?
Yeah.
When you'd pack, how would you pack them? Describe how you'd pack the produce.
And
the weights?
They just went mostly by size, just by looking. We had like a bench, there's a big bench sloping forward. It was the length of that shed that we had, not quite, it might have been. And you used to put pick the tomatoes in kerosene tins and then take them down either on a wheelbarrow or, a truck or something down to the shed. And then we'd put them up on that bench. And my father used to do the packing, and we used to, we'd just grab them and they just keep coming down and you put them in the box. At that time, though, we were using long boxes and they had a partition in the middle, and then you'd pack them in and you'd slide them along and then you just get the nails and, put a cup in a nail in each and then stack them on a stack,
Did you stamp them or anything?
Yeah, you used to put our name. We had a stamp with a stamp and, pad, and you used to stamp the lid,
And what are the name, or what was the stamp?
Oh, just P. Serovich, 10th Avenue, Austral.
How did you pack them? Were they packed green or red or?
Oh, semi, with a bit of red on them, And you never packed them green.
What types of tomatoes? did you grow?
We had Grace Lissy. They were the smooth skinned one, you know, with the big. And we had Rouge de Malmedy. That was, they used to call them China. China tomatoes or something. They were wrinkly ones, you know, but they had a lot of taste in them. Yeah.
And, okay, so you've moved from tomato grow. How long did you grow tomatoes for?
Oh, probably, I'd say 10, 15 years, I suppose, something like that.
So how profitable was that for the family?
Oh, nothing special, I think, because we weren't that rich. But we had a truck and a car, you know, and more than most of them had. You know.
So how long were you schooled at Liverpool Boys for?
4 years.
Okay, and some of the people you went to school with, do you know who the principal was at Liverpool Boys at the time?
Yeah, I don't know his first name, but he's Mr. Clark. He was the first one.
And how was it? Because you would have then moved out of the area, wouldn't you? Like Liverpool Boys would have been a mixture of other, you know, it's quite a big region.
Oh, yeah. At that time, they...
It would have been quite different for you to go from Austral Primary into Liverpool Boys.
Yeah. We went the year it opened, Liverpool Boys. That's the year we started, 1955.
And who? What were some of the new men you met there? Some of the new friends?
Oh, well, there was a lot of mostly Australians. Oh no, that was at the time when all the English and that started moving out here and, you know, migrating, and they had the what do you call it? At Cabramatta, they had them where all the migrants used to live, you know.
All the migrant camps?
Yeah, and it was mostly English there, and there was Germans. We had in Leightonfield, there was one at Leightonfield, they used to come from there too, and there was, you know, all nationalities sort of coming from at that time. Everybody used to mix with everybody, you know. Didn't matter what country you come from, everybody seemed to get along all right, you know.
So what were you aspiring to at school? Just to, like, what were you thinking? Were you thinking, I'm not going to be a farmer? Or what were you thinking?
No, everybody, you know, just as long as you could get some sort of job or something, you know. I ended up working on Liverpool Council, doing an electrical apprenticeship after high school. You know.
So your trade is an electrician?
Yeah.
Do you have any other, I mean, is that's what you are, a sparky?
Oh, I've done the course, but
didn't use it?
No, not much. Only a couple of years. Actually, it will have to be 5 years. About 7 years, because I worked for a couple of years after my apprenticeship, you know. And that was at the time when Prospect took over Liverpool Council.
Why did they take over Liverpool?
Well, it was when the government decided to, you know, all the little councils to merge them all together and make them one big one, you know. There was Liverpool, Fairfield, Holroyd, Windsor, Blacktown, Penrith. I think there was they merged them all together. You know.
So it became like a regional council.
Yeah.
We'll talk a bit more about that in a minute. Go back to that working life, because that's we need to talk about that. Just before, I just wanted to ask about. What did you do as a young man for social life?
Played cricket on Saturday afternoons when the cricket season was on.
Who did you play for?
Scott Memorial Park up at Austral. And
what position? Where did you, were you a bowler or a batter?
Oh, a bit of everything, you know. Everybody in the team. We used to play in the Camden district, and we won the C grade and they put us in the B grade. Then we won the B grade and they put us into A grade. And then we didn't win too many games. We went in the A grade because there were some good cricketers in, you know, different places, Camden, Appin and all that, you know, Farmers and things like that.
Did you ever play at Camden Park Estate? They had a cricket oval there.
No. Yeah. No, we played at Camden Showground. Yeah. Yeah. And every second Saturday night we used to go to Ludnam Dance. That's you know, they had a old time dance, you know, and that's where I went and met my wife at Ludnam Dance.
So it actually wasn't quite out in the tomato fields, it was at Ludnam Dance.
Yeah. Her auntie lives there, lives right opposite the hall at Ludnam. She's 90 years old now, and we knew her, and we used to go there after the dance and that, and Leonie would go there too, and that's how we sort of met.
So what would happen on a, describe the dance hall, like what would happen? You go there every second, how would you get there?
Oh boy, mates had cars and, you know, we used to go together.
A three-piece band, that sort of thing?
Yeah. Piano, saxophone, drums. I think that was about it. It was pretty well patronised, you know. Just, in the barn dance, they used to have to make a horseshoe or gentleman's tap, and you tap the person out in front of you. And then they'd have a cup of, halfway through, they'd have a cup of tea and cakes and all this, you know. That was good. Look, these young ones miss out on all that sort of thing.
I just have to stop you kicking your feet. Against
I'm sorry.
That. That's all right.
And then on the other Saturday, we used to go to Sydney and watch the Speedway and all things like that, you know. Sometimes there'd be a dance somewhere at Leamington and Austral. We used to have a lot of fun, you know.
So the Speedway, you never went to... Was Liverpool Speedway open then?
Yeah.
Did you ever go there?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
So you were interested in cars?
Oh, yeah. Not as much as my brother. He's more into it than I am. And then on Sundays, we used to have, at Austral, we had a younger set, and we used to have square dancing and all that sort of stuff. And then they'd organise bus trips we have a couple of busloads go down, you know, Thrill to Austin, me or something like that.
Can we talk about the chicken farming?
Yeah.
So what was the transition to, what happened?
I think my father got sick of growing vegetables and that. And then he decided to go into chickens, you know. And at first we only had chickens on the ground, you know, in sheds of rooms of, say, 500 or something in there. And then we had them like that for a while.
Did you build the sheds yourself?
We did the work. We helped, and the builder was Ivan Puderich. He done a lot of work around here at our place, you know, building sheds and things like that. And we got the timber for the raft, you know, for the roof and that. It come from down Barragarang Valley before they flooded it. You know, there was a sawmill there, Kramer. Their name was Kramer. And we brought all the timber from down there. And the posts were round posts. We got them from farms around here, people, you know, that has cut the straight timber.
How many chickens did you start with? And who were you growing them for?
Oh, no, they were laying layers. for ourselves, you know, sending or selling them or sending them to the egg board, you know. I think we had 9. It would have been about 4, probably about 4,000 altogether or something at the most, you know. But that was all on the ground. And then we had a friend, their name was Watson. They had a chicken farm down in 12th Avenue. And we were good friends with them, and they suggested we put them into cages. And Bill Ryan, he had a factory down in 10th Avenue, and he used to make cages, you know. And he's let us have the cages and pay him back when we could, you know. Yeah.
How long your chicken farm, was that profitable?
Oh, yeah. Not millions, but, you know. Because we always had a, you know, how do you say, we had to work all the time, but we never went, you know, never went hungry or anything. You know, we always had plenty of food and things like that.
Because in some of your photos as a young boy, you're dressed very well.
Yeah.
So who made your clothes, or what happened? How come, you know, I meant, like, that's usually a sign of, well, it could be a sign of anything, really.
I don't know if my grandmother or something used to knit them vests, or, you know, or... But we used to buy, you know, get clothes. There used to be a store in Liverpool, Goods, and they used to sell, you know, that Stamina, I think it was Stamina, suits, and, you know, the little suits, the grey suits, and the shirts and that, you know. Or if you'd go to Anthony Horden's, you know, and get, buy, yeah.
When you were growing, maybe talk about some of that, how you started school, what language? What language you were speaking, and that anecdote about the teacher. So, when did you learn to speak English, and how was that during school?
I would have learned at school, at primary school, because you soon pick it up once, you know, at that age. Yeah. But they said I couldn't speak a word of English when I went to school, when I started school there. Well, that's all would have been spoken at home at that time, you know. And then when I went to high school, I knew I was speaking, probably only took a couple of years to learn to speak properly, proper English, I suppose. But my grammar teacher at high school didn't think I was real good.
What did he say to you?
He asked me how old was I born when I came to Australia? Well, was I born in Australia? I said, yeah. And he said, no, I think he said, what did I say before? How old were you when you come to Australia? I said, I was born here. And he said, you mean to tell me that you was born here and your grammar is so bad? And his name was Mr. Gaskell. And when the first time he came into our room, he said, my name is Gaskell, not Gaskett or something. If you call me Mr. Gaskett, I might blow a gasket.
So, and you mentioned something else about the size of the school at Liverpool Boys, how many you had attending there.
Yeah, we had 1,000 boys and 1,000 girls at Liverpool High School. Because it used to pull from such a big area. St John's Park, Bonnyree, and Fairfield and down to Leightonfield, Villawood, some of them, Sefton, all them areas down there, and then out here, Bringelly, laudanum, oh, not so much laudanum, I don't think, but Leppington, Austral, and Moorbank, and Eastills Migrant Camp, Hammondville, you know. Yeah.
So you talked about your school's mix, and you mentioned, oh no, you've already talked about that, that they came from the migrant camps.
Yeah.
Can we just go back to the chicken farming again and just think about how were your eggs distributed?
Oh, we used to sell them, you know, sell a lot of, like at the door, or we had runs, chicken runs, you know, egg runs, like delivery runs, and or most of them went to the egg board. We used to have a carrier used to pick them up in the 30 dozen boxes and take them to Lidcombe to the egg board, you know, and they used to grade them and all that sort of thing, and you get the check off them. You know.
Can we talk about pricing? Can you recall what did you sell your eggs for at the door, and where was your egg run? Did you have regular clients? And...
No, I can't tell you the prices. I couldn't remember that.
Uh-huh.
But we had some shops. You know, we used to butcher shops from here to in towards Sydney, and we used to do one run on a Thursday. I think it was an all day run. Different butcher shops, and we had a run down at Zetland. We had some friends that lived at Zetland, and they sort of started up this run down there. And we used to go like house to house down there, or whoever, they tell each other, and we'd round in the Zetland area, you know. And we had another one at Chatswood, around Chatswood, all around, another egg run down there. But by that time, we'd started killing, processing chickens, you know. And we used to deliver chickens and eggs, you know, on these runs.
So that would have been...
Sorry.
No, you go on.
We had a shop down here too, and we used to sell a lot of it there. At the end, we were just selling everything what we had here without sending any to the egg board, you know. We used to do, as I say, deliveries of chickens and eggs.
So that would have been kind of stringent food sort of safety issues
with
the chickens and the killings. And so maybe we might just talk about some of... I'm interested in just going back to the cages. Were you a low-tech farm? Like, how would you consider yourself?
Oh, we used to... When we changed over to cages, the most we could run was about 15,000. We used to run about 15,000 layers. And we had a pretty big business at home. We used to sell a lot of eggs from home.
What was the daily ritual of the chicken, the cycle of the chicken day? You know, like cleaning and... When would they be sprayed for lice? How would you feed? What would they get fed?
Well, do you want to know when we first started, when they're on the ground?
Let's talk about on the ground first.
When they're on the ground, we used to grow green feed. We used to, you know, like oats and things like that. And we used to feed them wet feed in the morning, early in, you know, and first thing in the morning. We had a mixer and a chaff cutter and a grinder. And we used to have to chaff, mix the feed up, and we used to mix the green in with the wet feed, and we'd go along and feed them in the morning. And then they had hoppers inside the sheds, we used to fill up, you know, with dry feed, and that used to keep falling as they ate it. And in the afternoon, we used to throw wheat in there, and, you know, and they'd scratch around and eat the wheat, you know. And then when we stopped with the chickens on the ground, when we started with the cages, we were still mixing our own feed for a while, and we used to run that, you know, just to feed them once a day or every second day. And these, and then we went from that buying ready-made feed, you know, and we had a machine that we used to put the feed in and used to run along the troughs and put the feed in the troughs, you know, every day or every second day. So we'd fill it up enough so it'd last 2 days, feed them one day and then run through with it like a back thing and stir it up, you know, and the next day. You always just to try and keep it as low as you can so there's no wastage, you know. And the ones that were on the ground, we used to, I can't remember what we used to use for de-lysing them, but some chemical, but we used to, where they used to perch, we used to paint that with creosote, you know, and they used to get the lice and thing used to, where the timbers touched, they used to get in there, you know, and you had to turn them over. And then in the cages, we used to have a knapsack and go along underneath the cage and spray the birds for lice. But I can't remember what name of the chemical that we used to use.
What was the paint you described then? Creosote or something?
Creosote.
Can you spell that? Roughly?
Creosote, I think it is. Yeah, it was like a black. They used to use it on houses too, you know, for the timbers on the under the floors, you know, on the floor, and what they nailed the timber too.
So that was your own solution? You thought that out?
Oh, just, you know, we're talking to other farmers and things like that. We used to deworm them. The ones that are on the ground, we used to put whatever we were using in the water, and they used to drink it, and they used to get worms. But and people used to think that, a lot of people thought that in the cages they wouldn't get worms, but if the birds could get into the shed, they used to spread the, you know, and we used to have to deworm them every few months or something, you know, and you'd get a. You'd be surprised the amount of worms that had come out of them.
How many chickens in a cage?
We had one size cage that took 2 chickens, and one size that took 3 chickens.
What type of chickens?
Layers. We used to have like crossbred, you know, the white or the brown ones, the ISA browns, you know, brown egg.
What about the manure?
Oh, we used to deliver that. We used to, but our farmers, market gardeners from around district would come and get it with their own truck. And otherwise, we had a truck that we used to deliver it, you know, people, the farmers would come to us and we'd deliver it to them, you know.
So let's talk about the chickens that you started to kill.
Yeah.
That would have been a different process.
Yeah, they were meat chickens. We used to process boilers too, the old hens. They were sold as boilers, you know. You could only make soup and things like that out of them. But we used to kill meat birds. Probably had used to kill about 1,000 a day for them, you know, or if it was quiet, 300 or 400. But we used to buy them through Ingham's, you know, off their farms, and we used to have to go and weigh at their weighbridge and weigh on and off, you know. And we used to supply the, well, a lot of it was customers, you know, like Aussies and all sorts of nationalities used to come to the, we had a shop and that down there in the shed, you know.
Oh, you had a shop on your premises?
Yeah. And
Was it called something?
No, just Pisarevich and Sons or something, you know. It was the old shed that we, you know, used to use for packing and all that. And we can, you know, gradually convert it into something a bit decent. And then we had the freezers there. We had two freezers and two cool rooms, you know, just for fresh chickens. And we used to, plus on top of that, we used to cater for the Muslims. They used to come to our place and kill their own chickens, but they used to kill them, and we used to dress them for them, you know. They were supposed to pray or something.
What era was that? What year? Around, what were you, 70s?
Oh, yeah, probably 70s. That's probably when it would have started, probably. Right through till when we closed up, that was 15 years ago.
With the chickens, what was the cycle of the meat chickens? Like, you buy them as chicks, would you?
No, we'd buy them ready for killing.
Oh, you would?
Yeah.
Daily, would you buy them?
Yeah, daily, yeah.
Do you know the prices of them?
I don't know what we're paying a kilo then. I don't really remember. When the Muslims had their Ramadan, that was really, really busy time. When it was starting and when it was finishing, you know. And then they used to come, you know, bits and pieces through the year, all the, you know, any other time. Yeah.
How many did they buy for you a day or something?
Oh, some of the customers had, one person had killed for, must have killed for about 20 people, you know.
Do you remember names? Were those loyal customers?
No, I wouldn't know then. The only one I can remember was this old chap. He was in his 90s, and he used to kill the chickens for him, you know. Habib, but I don't know what.
There's a few Habibs around here, aren't there?
Yeah. No, he's only a little chap. I mean.
Can I take you somewhere else now?
Yeah.
Because we're probably got about another 10 minutes or so. I just want to talk about Prospect Council.
Yeah.
Is there anything more you want to add? Sorry, I kind of feel like I've got a sense of it with the chickens. We'll photograph some of the sheds after we talk. Is there anything else you want to? Why did you wind up because of? You closed the chicken business because...
Oh, with the prospect, I got married. I was working there for 2 years, I think.
I'm interested in, you mentioned Green Valley.
Yeah.
You saw, and you had something to do, you witnessed all the planning of Green Valley.
Yeah. Yeah, I was working for Prospect when that first started.
So what was your role there?
I was working just in a gang, you know, putting up transformers or, you know, doing that sort of thing.
So you actually worked in Green Valley?
Yeah, when they started boom, at the very start.
So they would have been building Sadlier then or something?
Yeah, one of them areas, yeah.
one of the suburbs in Green Bay.
Yeah.
Okay, so can you describe, well, I want to talk about that, because were you working closely with the builders? Like?
Oh, no, it had nothing to do with the builders.
Okay.
We were just putting in the mains, you know.
What do you mean when you say that, the mains?
The wires, you know.
The telegraph poles?
Yeah, telegraph poles and the transformers up on the pole, you know, when you're seeing, and we were doing all that sort of thing, and it was just like, just when they first started making the roads and that, you know.
How did the land look? Because they cleared everything, obviously.
Yeah. Well, before that it was all farming land, you know, dairies and things like that. There was, on Hoxton Park Road there was two or three dairies there just before you get into Hill Road or Webster Road. No.
Banks Road.
Yeah, well, Banks Road, there was a couple of dairies there. One was Hughes's. They were, if you're going off Hoxton Park Road and Banks Road, they were on the left-hand side. They had a dairy there. And there was, on the opposite, was Cooper's. And they had a dairy there, too. And there was a pig farm alongside that. That was Knox's. Their name was Knox. And where the Catholic Club, there was a pig farm there, too. That was Anderson. Their name was Anderson.
It's a big landscape, isn't it?
Yeah. That area used to flood fairly often along there. And then they put that... They cleaned out the creeks or something and put a... And there's a... Used to be like a hump on Oxford Park Road there, just near the Catholic Club. And that was supposed to stop the water from spreading across. On the other side of, on the same side as the Catholic Club, there was farms, just market garden, like now dairies. That's right, dairies and things, a couple of dairies along there. One was named Keys, and the other on the other side was he was a bank manager there in Liverpool, and he had a bit of a farm there too.
Can you describe how you'd work and how many in your team and how many of you were there doing the work?
Oh, usually about, you know, you'd, probably half a dozen, you know, in a gang. You'd have to, when we're putting the transformers up, when you had to, they were being put on the poles, they, you know, you had to, make it like a little, there's a little platform thing up the top there, and they used to hang the transformer on these brackets. Then you had to wire them all up to the line, the mains.
What can you say about the Prospect Council were looking after the infrastructure for Green Valley? So what else do you recall about the planning and what else sticks out for you? How long were you in the landscape for there?
Probably a couple of years, I think, yeah. But I used to have to do other work too, not just that. You know, like we used to go around fixing up stoves in houses and with Prospect.
Was it just telegraph poles? Had they built houses before you were there? Were there any houses going
on? No. I think they were just starting them, you know.
So this is late 50s you're talking about?
Yeah, the 60s or something.
Early 60s.
Yeah, because I started high school in 55. So that would be 59. Yeah, it'd be 60 or... In the early 60s, yeah.
How would the poles... So the poles were already there?
No, we had gangs that used to put the poles in. You know, used to have a drill on the back of a truck, and then they had another truck that used to cart the poles in, and then they had another truck that used to... had like a crane on it, then used to stand the poles up, you know? Well, then once they'd done that, then we'd come along and do the transformer work, you know, and have to put all the fittings and all that sort of thing, like, you know, to isolate them and all this stuff.
Would it be like a row of poles, or would they be doing it? What would happen when you would arrive?
Oh, yeah, you only have, you know, you have a transformer one for one block or something, or a couple, you know. And the others were just the poles holding the wires, bringing the wires to there, you know. Some areas they mightn't have even had overhead wires. They might, you know, they were underground or something like that, you know.
Was the landscape quite barren? Did it look strange? Because it would have been cleared.
Yeah.
A lot of it?
Well, a lot of it didn't need clearing too, I think, because, you know, it had already been farmed and things like that. Yeah. But I think we were working over on, at the start, just off Elizabeth Drive, you know, that area there.
That Ashcroft area, Maxwell Avenue in
there. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think we've covered a lot of territory. Is there anything you want to add? Why have you taken up bowls back at Austral?
I've always played golf, you know. And I just thought, wouldn't mind having a go at bowls, you know. To me, I think it's nearly a harder game than golf, you know. Yesterday when I played, it was the first time that I've sort of done any good, you know, since I started. But it's, I don't know if chaps asked me when they first built Austral Bowling Club to play bowls, and I said, no, I'm not old enough yet. Anyhow, when I finished work 5 years ago, he came up to me and he said, are you old enough to play bowls now? And I think I should have taken him up when I was younger.
Is that Ivan?
No, Bob Wiskitch.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that's Dave's brother. You know, they got the Celtics.
Yeah, I'll put a speak to them at some point. The Wiskitches. So it's Dave and Bob, is it?
Yeah, or Robert.
So you never were part of the bocce club there at Leamington there?
No. I keep saying that I should have went, but I just never got around to it, you know. My father used to be there every Sunday, you know, right up till nearly the time he died, you know. Yeah, and I sort of felt like I should have, you know, how do you place it, call it that? I felt that I would have liked to have taken his place, you know, but I never got around to it.
You might get there.
Yeah.
You might get there.
Yeah.
Before we finish up, can you just tell us your children's names and your grandchildren's names?
Yeah. The boy, that's Millen, he's the eldest one, he's the boy. And then there's Joanne, the one in the red, she's the second one. And then Karen's the youngest one at the top. And the two grandchildren, Harry and Matthew.
And they're your sons?
Yeah.
Boys.
Yeah. He works for AMP down at Circular Quay. He's been there since he left uni.
So did any of your children carry on the farm?
No, none of them wanted to be on the farm.
Did they ever help on the farm?
They did. Weekends or in the shop they used to work for him, and or if we're short of someone to go and help pick up the chickens, because we used to go to the farms to pick up chickens for Minium, you know, for the killing. And they'd come with us and help us load the truck and that, you know. The three of them went to Hoxton Park High School. And they've all got good jobs. So it's not, you know, it's, if you want to learn, you will learn. And, you know, I don't think Hoxton Park's got a real terrific name, but they've done all right out of it, you know. Mm-hmm. Only because they've sort of been willing to, you know, to learn. But I think the two girls, I think they learned more after they left school than before they were at school. The boy and the older girl, they were both school captains at Hoxton Park. And Karen, she left in year 11. And the careers advisor told her she would never make it. But she's never been out of work, you know. She's sort of good on customer service, sort of managing that sort of business, you know. And Millen, he done accountancy course up at Charles Sturt at Bathurst. And then he's worked at AMP, and I couldn't tell exactly what he does, but it's fairly, you know, fairly important, you know. They put in a new computer system there or something, and he had to be there to supervise, you know, make sure whatever went wrong. Even though he lives close to the work, but he never gets home that early, you know.